Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
It's time to podcast.
It is.
Yeah, you know, I kind of enjoy these podcasts. They're fun.
They are fun. We have fun, and we demand that all of the people out there have fun while this is playing.
That's right. So make sure you do our choreographed fun dance that we've been working on.
It's really, really impressive stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth, a lot of hip motions.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, if we ain't got the hips involved, it ain't worth dancing.
That's right.
That's my saying.
I've heard you say that many times. Shouting it from tops of mountains.
I'm literally quoted for that saying. That's me. My Oscar Wilde like wordplay.
Yeah.
If the hips aren't involved, it ain't worth dancing.
That's right. And we love our dancing here at Tapes and Scouts.
We do.
We are dancing fools.
We are.
Do you got a movie that involves dancing?
No, I got one that involves bowling.
Oh, why don't you tell us about that? That's just like it.
That it is, really. The hips.
The hips are also
involved.
It's all
in the hips, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. 1996, Kingpin.
Ooh, Kingpin, okay.
This happens to be one of Jared's Alphabet Challenge films.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Yes. This is the first movie I watched this year. Watched it on 1/2/2024. Mm-hmm. It is 1 hour and 57 minutes long, which is kind of long for a comedy. A sport comedy, no less. Directed by the Farrelly brothers, famous for Dumb and Dumber, I think. Probably. And it stars the Woody Harrelson, the always problematic Randy Quaid, and the forgotten about Vanessa Angel.
Aww.
No, I mean, she was good in Weird Science TV show.
That's true.
Yeah. Your movie summary for this one, a star bowler whose career was prematurely cut off. Yeah, it has quotes on it for real, and I didn't put them there. Hopes to ride a new prodigy to success and riches.
Ooh.
Yeah, so basically Woody Harrelson's he's a bowler who was popular in the 70s. He ended up running afoul of some folks that he was trying to con along with Bill Murray, who was kind of leading him down this dark path of con artistry.
As Bill Murray will.
As he will. And they end up sticking his hand in a bowling return, and it chops off his hand. So then you see him years and years later, he's selling bowling supplies to bowling alleys who don't want the stuff that he's selling. And he has a rubber hand, and he still wears his championship bowling ring on his rubber hand. And then he ends up running along Randy Quaid, who's Amish in this movie somehow. That was a casting choice they made.
They did do that.
And turns out that their community's in trouble and they need money. So he's going to train Randy Quaid to become a professional bowler and win a big tournament in Reno. And along the way, they do the same stuff that Bill Murray did with him. He's doing with Randy Quaid, just a lot poorer because he's much more naive being Amish. And it runs into some ridiculous moments. There's a lot going on here, good and bad.
Right. Well, I feel like that's why they cast Amish in a lot of movies. They cast characters to be Amish.
Yeah.
Because it's an easy plot device in that respect.
It really is.
And we've all seen, you know, shows of like the Amish when they get to go and see if they want to see the outside world.
Yeah.
And they're just so culture shocked.
Uh-huh. And Randy Quaid does, I think, a fine enough job here being kind of innocent. But then it's Randy Quaid. So then when they really make him go ridiculous and over the top, he does.
Yeah.
So it works. It's just an odd, like, it's so odd to see him just like this, even for him back then, like pre-Independence Day, I believe, because that was 99.
Feels right.
So it's just kind of like, still, it's just Randy Quaid, and especially looking back at it from a today perspective of Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
It's like,
would you rather he do it now?
I don't know. I certainly think he could play Bill Murray's part now.
Sure. Yes. That
just
might be
true. More cracked and insane. But yeah, this movie was definitely kind of a victim of the times in certain respects. There's definitely some humor in here that's a little bit sketchy and a little bit problematic. Nothing too god awful, but just the little things that are like haven't aged too well. And I think through the alphabet challenge, we will find movies on the list that have not aged well. And I will make sure. I think it's my duty to call them out if somebody's going to go back and revisit this movie. Just be warned that sensitivities change, times change.
Yeah.
This one is pretty lighthearted for the most part and doesn't do too much. There's a little bit of objectifying, especially with circling Vanessa Angel's character.
Sure.
Like they use her kind of as a distract, like a female distraction for a lot of the other bowling teams while they're kind of hustling them through different little small venues, working their way towards Reno, kind of just gathering cash as they go. And it's like, I get it. And there's some like cross-dressing stuff and some, you know, like drag queen-esque stuff that tends to be a little look downy on that culture, which I think's changed a lot since then.
Absolutely.
So it's a little encouraging to see that it's like, cool, it's cool how far we've come in certain respects, because there's certainly other ones we haven't.
Well, that's true. And since this has Jared's name on this challenge, you have to let people know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jared would have it no other way.
That's right.
He follows his heart.
He does. He wants you to be pretty much the Big Bird of things, like just present it up front and to the point.
That's how he likes Big Birds.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yes.
So overall, IMDb gives this movie a 6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
Very fitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes audience, I'm skipping right to them because out of 50,000 plus, they gave it 69%.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of nice scoring for this one. Rotten Tomatoes critics, however, not as kind. 39 Rotten Tomato critics gave it 49%.
That's what I figured.
It's rough around the edges for sure. Like, it's definitely grungy and gritty, but it just works for me. And you know how I am with comedy. Like, I'm all over the place. Some things that you would be like, Max would love this, be like, no, he didn't like it. Some things that I'm like, I shouldn't like this, it's like, I don't know why I really like it. Even though I know it can be a little different in the comedy department. But I do enjoy this one quite a bit. And I think that Bill Murray's hair in this movie is worth the price of admission alone. I give this movie a 7.5 out of 10.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it's a good, fun comedy movie. You can do worse, and you certainly can do worse in the Farrelly Brothers body of work.
Sure. But I wonder what critics did for Dumb and Dumber, because that's like their most successful.
That is the highest watermark, I think, in terms of movies they've created, I would guess, anyway. Like, I can't imagine any other one coming. Like, There's Something About Mary.
Oh, that was big, too.
That was really popular at the time, but tough. I think it's another one that would have aged well. 68%, according to the critics, for Dumb and Dumber.
Nearly nice.
Yeah.
Nearly.
You just need to get it. See, now, if you rate and review us here, we can jump on the critic bandwagon and jump that up to the second best number possible for
That's
a rating.
That's right.
Just saying. Do that.
Do it.
God damn it. I know you haven't. I fucking know it.
He knows.
Damn it.
He knows. Well, I got a movie.
Ooh.
It's called Resolution.
Oh.
Resolution.
I feel like you did this in the wrong order.
You think so?
I feel like the resolution should have came at the end.
Well, I tell you what, my title for my second movie kind of works at the end as well.
Oh, I'm excited now.
Yeah, so it's going to be okay either way.
Ooh.
Would you rather I do my second movie first?
Okay. No, Resolution. No, I want it to remain a mystery. Now we got to keep the people hooked, Tim.
Got all the hooks in them. They're doing the dance.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They're all...
The cats are looking at them funny. The dogs are screaming.
They're going to skip all of this. My next movie review is irrelevant because they're going to be like, what the hell did Tim review second?
They'll be like, oh, that. Okay.
Damn, I was let down. And then they turn it off. Let down again.
Can't wait to let you down in 10-ish minutes. But Resolution is from 2012. I watched it on the 29th of January. I took a nice old sabbatical from movies. This is an hour 33 drama, horror, mystery directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead.
I like them both.
Yeah, I thought you might. Starring Peter Ciella, Vinnie Curran, and Emily Montagu. IMDb, movie summary, a man imprisons his estranged junkie friend in an isolated cabin in the boonies of San Diego to force him through a week of sobriety. But the events of that week are being mysteriously manipulated.
Uh-oh.
Mysterious. Benson and Moorhead often direct together.
They do.
They've done episodes of Loki, The Twilight Zone, Moon Knight.
Yep.
So they've done things that we like. They also did a short in VHS Viral.
Yes,
which
they
was
did.
Bone Storm.
Bone Storm, one of my favorites.
I was going to say, I thought that was one of the ones you enjoyed.
Yes.
This is such a strange movie. Have you ever heard of this one?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's pretty good. It's just very bizarre. So
that sounds like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the friend is like, he's like, oh, I got to check in on him. I'm worried about him. I know he's going through a rough time. And the friend is like, he's like, oh, I don't give a crap. I'll just do this till I die. I don't give a shit. Doesn't matter.
Right.
And I think my only critique of this movie is the friend just doesn't seem screwed up enough.
Okay.
In a weird way, because he's like the funny one.
Yeah.
The chubby fat guy kind of thing going on. And he literally just handcuffs him to the wall, to a pipe that he can't break off of.
Huh.
And he's like, all right, well, you just stay there and I'll come back and we'll help you. You find out a bunch of things, though. He thinks he owns the building that they're staying in, this little shack kind of place. He doesn't. He was squatting.
Huh.
So there's a lot of other problems that start popping up.
Interesting.
It is on Indian land.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of like these heavy Indian guys that just come over and they're like going to rough him up.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, listen, he's trying to not tell them he's got a dude handcuffed to a mattress.
Sure.
In there.
I think that's a good idea.
So it's like this straight laced kind of guy who does have his stuff together, who's trying to do this awful thing to do a good thing for his friend. It's very bizarre. But then it starts getting weirder and weirder, and you find out a lot of different legends from the Indian community, some people who have done documentaries in the area.
Okay.
And it's a lot of like, what is actually going on here? And you're not sure if it's like some sort of spirit thing. Is there ghost? Is it tied to the Indians at all? Or does it just happen to be on their land?
Interesting.
Is it somebody screwing with them?
Right.
You do eventually get your answer. It is pretty cool. And I think it's a cool plot device for the later half of the movie.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that they use like, they're kind of flipping the script to give the act two or like the second half of the film something really, really different than what you're getting in the first half, like being the setup piece, building the relationship, building the characters, and then presenting this issue partway through the movie is pretty neat.
It's pretty good. I just, like I said, I wish the one friend was just more messed up and less coherent in a way.
Sure.
Because he's kind of just like, no, I'm good, man. Just leave me alone. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's fine. And there's like other drug addicts that are trying to break in and steal stuff from them. You find out that he was dealing drugs to them. He owes them a bunch of money. So it just, everything escalates and it gets very bizarre. I don't want to give away the twist towards the end.
Okay.
It's pretty original.
Awesome.
And I think this movie, for horror purists, I think they would enjoy it.
Awesome.
So I think it's something cool to check out. And if you enjoyed their other stuff, you should enjoy this too.
Wonderful.
So IMDb gave it a 6.4 out of 10.
Okay.
The critics at Rotten Tomatoes, 15 of them, gave it 80%.
Not bad.
The audience, 1,000 plus, give it 65%.
Oh.
No wife to be found. It's just me. So 6.5 from me.
Not bad.
We're all minimally, you're going to enjoy it, is how I look at
it. That's what it sounds like. It's doing a lot more right than wrong.
Yep, for sure.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I like that.
I like you.
I like this year, 1986.
Why, that's the best year of the 80s.
That's what I heard.
That's what they say in the dance.
It's right.
Part of the dance.
It is part of the dance.
86 hip shakes.
Yeah, that's what, it's the 1986 count. That's very important to the dance. You have to understand that. That's step one of understanding the dance.
Yes. If you can't get past the 1986, then
you're done.
You're never going to get to the end.
That's right. Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
Yeah, not the one you did, though.
Good.
I watched this on January 7th, 2024. It is 1 hour and 34 minutes long. It is a comedy musical. It also happens to be one of Jared's Alphabet Challenge movies.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Yes.
Oh, bow, 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 Jared.
There couldn't be a more Jared director for this particular film. It is Frank Oz.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Starring Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, and Steve Martin.
That's right.
Yep. And your summary for this one is: a nerdy florist finds his chance for success and romance with the help of a giant man-eating plant who demands to be fed.
Feed me.
Yes. This movie, I would say, if somebody were to like sit me down and be like, you have to tell me like some number of the best remakes ever made, this would be on this list.
I agree, because I think the original is very good and this is different enough.
It's so out there and different. Like, it took the tone of kind of being like a horror comedy, which I think the first one does a dark comedy really well, obviously Nicholson being Nicholson.
Right.
And the fact that they shot that movie in like a day and a half is
tracks.
Yeah, it's like it works. It definitely works. In this regard, I think they took the strengths and figured out what works about the story and made it even better. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact they were just like, let's just make it a full-on, like, basically a stage play musical.
Right.
Is really smart. And I'm not sure if Little Shop started getting stage production before this came out.
But that's a good question.
I'm not sure how that timeline evolves, because I know it's also a very common stage play. You see this a lot for high schools and colleges and upcoming folks who are in the dramatic arts will indeed go ahead and do a rendition of this particular ditty.
They will
and
Little
Shop. Yeah, and I don't know if this came about before or after those, but either way, it's really smart to take the elements of that particular story and make them musical, and just, it's so weird. Bill Murray's weird as shit in this movie, being the like absolute just weird sub for the the Steve Martin character who just wants to just inflict pain on everybody being a dentist.
Right. Like, was that your theme, Weird Bill Murray?
It wasn't, but it ended up being the theme of this episode, Weird Bill Murray.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was really fun. I think it's just pitch perfect. I think Rick Moranis does a really good job of being Rick Moranis in this movie.
Is this your favorite Rick Moranis? That's a good question.
Ooh, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard to say that it's not the McKenzies.
Okay.
Like, they're so much just built for those roles.
For sure.
Like, it's just, they feel so at home in those roles. But this is a good Bill Murray. I mean, I love the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Bill Murray, or Rick Moranis, Murray. Yep. I love the, of course, Ghostbusters Rick Moranis. It's hard to beat for me. It's just, in this era of, like, the late 80s, and then as I got older, like, Streets of Fire, Rick Moranis. Yeah. Like, it's just, this era of Rick Moranis is hard to beat.
The answer was Little Giants.
Yeah, also great. That was an important one for my childhood as well.
See, I know you.
It's just unbelievable that his brother would be Ed O'Neill.
Well, it's got to be somebody's brother.
You got to be.
Got to be.
Not pigs. So yeah, this movie's pretty awesome. I think it's hard to say anything too bad about this movie. The looks great. It just, if you don't like the idea of like something that feels overly staged or overly produced, you probably won't like this. But you have to realize that this is kind of using that aesthetic intentionally and kind of using that to help motivate the story and keep everything lean and mean. I mean, this is not a long movie. It's an hour and 34 minutes long.
Sure.
So it lets you do the dramatic cuts across to other characters for no reason who get a song and jump time. And you can do all of those things because you're using the music as the backdrop and you're using the musical rules to be able to kind of just explain motivations and desires and time through a song, which is awesome. And I think that Frank Oz leverages that perfectly in this movie.
Smart man.
Yep. He's great.
Yep.
IMDb gives this a 7.1 out of 10.
Nice.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 54 critics, 91%.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, the audience, 100,000 plus, gave this 79%.
All right, these are all good.
They are, and I'm coming in right in the middle as I do at times, 8.5.
That's right.
I'm a master of the 1986 dance routine, so I came right in on beat. 8.5, which you didn't even know was in the dance. It's in there, baby.
It's in there. It's later on in the dance.
It is.
I think we're going to have to perform this dance for people.
You know what? I think if we get enough requests for the dance, we will do the dance. So get out there and request. Maybe some rates and reviews. Rate it. Review. Love the podcast. Do the goddamn dance. If I see that enough, I'll do it.
It's a lot of performances you've seen in movies, like the guy in the Big Lebowski on the chair doing his performance.
Oh, yes.
As the tree or whatever he is.
Yeah.
That's part of it as well. So if you want to see Max in that getup, let me know.
Yeah.
I'll start sewing.
Rates and reviews, people. Rates and reviews. But yeah, well, good movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did that one. That one was one I was like, maybe I'll get to that one at some point. That has to get on here.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Well, this movie... It's fitting it goes last.
Okay.
You this
keep
is
saying that.
1996's Last Man Standing.
Oh, good.
Remember this one?
I'm going to have to hear your description.
Okay. I remember watching this in the theater.
I remember the name, reason. And I'm making sure I'm not confusing it with another movie.
All right. Well, I watched this on February 3rd, 2024. It's an hour 41. Genre is action crime drama, directed by Walter Hill.
Okay.
And starring Bruce Willis, Bruce Dern...
Wow.
William Sanderson and Christopher Walken.
Okay.
A lot of good people in this movie.
A lot of good people in this movie.
Your IMDb movie summary, a drifting gunslinger for hire finds himself in the middle of an ongoing war between the Irish and Italian mafia in a prohibition ghost town.
Okay. Yep. I do know this movie.
This movie is really fun, and it is largely a bunch of bullshit. Let's be real. It is Bruce Willis coming into town, and he's trying to hide out in Mexico, but he doesn't quite get there.
Yep.
And this town, it's very bizarre, and he stops at the bar, and he's kind of getting a lay of the land. It's an unfortunate rhyme that happened.
Yeah.
But he's planning to just stay a night and then get out. But he ends up in the middle of this war between the Irish and the Italian that are just basically on opposite ends of the town. And it's just him and two guns shooting people this whole movie.
Yep.
He makes a mistake of looking at the one guy's girl a little too long, so they beat him up. He's like, all right, well, now I got to go beat the crap out of them.
Yep.
He plays both sides. He's part of both armies. And I even think they know it at points, and they're just like, we don't care. Get in there. Just take care of these people.
That's right.
William Sanderson is so good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Bruce Dern's got like a smaller part. He's kind of like the police officer in charge of the town, the sheriff, but he's like chicken shit and he just does whatever the bad guys say to
sure
do. So it takes higher ups coming in to kind of wrangle him.
Makes sense.
Doing what he needs to do. But this feels like a Walter Hill. It's very violent. It feels like a Western, but it's weird because it's Prohibition time.
Yeah.
So it's just a very lawless, dirty town.
That's a Walter Hill for you.
Yep. And I like the action. Christopher Walken is a very fun character. He doesn't show up to like the halfway point of this movie. They talk about him the whole movie. They're like, oh, you're not going to like, he's not going to be happy when he gets back.
Right.
And he shows up, he looks huge. I don't know what they did to him to make him look so massive.
Right.
But it's basically him walking around with a Tommy gun like it's nothing, just like blowing people away, which also feels very Walter Hill.
Yep.
Fun movie. It's a little long for this story. I think if you cut about 15 minutes out, this is way better.
That makes sense, yeah.
But it's just, it feels dirty. It feels fun. Blood everywhere, double crosses. You can't really predict where it's going to go. You just wonder, you get to the point where you're just like, I don't know if Bruce Willis is going to make it.
Yep.
So that's kind of the allure of the movie.
Sure.
And everybody gets nice and beat up by the time we get to the finish.
Yay.
So, yeah. Thanks, Walter Hill. So it's a fun one. If you like pointless action gun movies, this is one you could definitely enjoy.
Woohoo.
Yeah. IMDb. Also gave it a 6.4. That's okay. Fine.
Yeah.
The critics, they hated it. 31 of them gave it 42%.
Okay.
The audience didn't love it that much more. 50,000 plus gave it 51%.
Okay.
I will champion this movie.
Oh.
And I will give it a 7.0 because I think it is exactly as advertised, which is huge to me.
Yeah.
And it is fun.
That's having fun at the movies.
Having fun at the movies. 1986 dance.
Total power.